Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go. All right, there's 90 seconds on the clock. We'll have this time to figure out Amy's morning corny. Every Thursday, we call it the investigative morning corny. It's Eddie, Lunchbox, and myself. We'll just kind of talk amongst each other and see if we can figure it out. Amy, are you ready?
Ready.
Team, are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
All right, here we go with the investigative morning corny.
The morning corny.
What happens if you rub ketchup in your eyes?
All right, 90 seconds starts now. Ketchup in your eyes. Tomato, sauce.
In your eye.
Tomato.
You got a red
spreads.
Eye.
Tomato. Tomato. Or.
What happens if you write ketchup in your eyes?
Ketchup.
Eyes.
Ketchup.
Eyes. Ketchup in your eyes.
Ketchup.
If you rub hands, fingers, eyes, tomatoes,
French
fries.
Catch the red eye.
You get red eye? You take a red eye?
No.
Hey, don't be so angry at his answer.
No, I'm just saying
don't
that's not it.
Don't shut Lunchbox's answer down so quickly. It can lead to something else.
I'm saying we shouldn't even waste time on that.
You've given nothing to this, Eddie, so don't hate.
What happens if you rub ketchup in your eyes?
In your eyes.
Ketchup.
What do? You see. You see. You have sight with
sight.
Your eyes.
Glasses.
Eyes. Eyes. See. Sight. Ketchup. Ketchup.
French
sight.
Eyes.
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
Ketchup
sight.
Ketchup.
Ketchup eyes. Ketchup sights.
Ketchup.
Wow. I thought y'all get this faster than now.
Ketchup.
What happens if you rub ketchup in your eyes?
You have tomato sight.
You.
Red sight. I don't.
Ketchup.
Hindsight.
Hindsight. Hindsight.
Boom. You
That's gotta
hindsight.
Be it. That's gotta be it. Hindsight.
How do you say that in the joke?
Hindsight. You have hindsight.
You
hindsight.
Have hindsight.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay. Let's see if that's correct.
The morning corny.
What happens if you rub ketchup in your eyes?
Bring me the pain.
You have hindsight.
Yeah! Boom! See, I wasn't being mean. I was just telling Lunchbox we shouldn't waste time on that one.
But you never know where it might lead.
True.
Amy, it was
and
hindsight.
And me yelling sight the whole time. I thought I was just yelling stupid words.
Oh, I was trying to give you all the ketchup. Like, what are the brands of ketchup?
You were doing nothing to lead us in the right way.
Ketchup.
She just kept going, ketchup, ketchup, ketchup.
Because y'all worried
getting on to the fact that I needed you to think of a brand of ketchup.
And by you yelling ketchup did not lead us.
Heinz is the only ketchup.
No, we got it.
Yes,
Eddie, Heinz or Whataburger.
Let's
or
go.
Hunt's.
Yes.
All right. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Nice job. All right, follow me here, Amy. A man and his wife are about to take a 12-hour flight to the United States back, and he got a free upgrade on his flight.
Yeah. I know what you're about to say.
He got the upgrade. Okay.
Right.
So he said, okay, I'll take it. And so they went from economy to business class. Now, they only upgraded one ticket because he flies more, and they were like, sir, since you're frequent with us, we can upgrade your ticket. Now, I remind you, the husband and the wife are together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now they.
This is so hard.
They didn't really have the money to buy upgrades to begin with. He got his free, but here she is still sitting in economy as he sits in business, which is basically first class. So he says, "Hey, they've upgraded me. I'm going to go sit in first class." People are mad at him because of this. What do you feel about it?
Well, I'm not mad at him. You can't get mad, but I think he should have offered it to his wife.
This is what I think. I don't think that's the answer.
Why?
I think because if you've been married a long time, things are equal. They should always be equal, right? If they upgrade him, they should both have an equal shot at that seat. This is what I would say do. Hey, they've just upgraded me to first class and they haven't upgraded you. But that's not fair to our relationship. I would say that. That's not fair to our relationship. We both shouldn't. I just shouldn't go and you shouldn't.
So you stay back, nobody goes?
No.
There's a however in here.
However, what you do is you flip a coin three times and be like, let's just make it fair. Whoever wins gets the seat. So she has an equal chance to get the seat.
But he also could just offer it to her and then she could be like, no, it's your point.
But then he gets resentful if she doesn't say no. I just say you make it even.
Okay.
You say, hey, they offered us one seat in business first class. So why don't we flip a coin to see who gets it?
Right. I mean, I know I'm assigning a narrative to this and all because I have no idea the details of their life, but they probably maybe could possibly have kids and he travels a lot for work and he gets to travel for work because she's able to stay home with the kids. And now he gets the perks of his traveling for work, which is sitting in business class.
But traveling for work stinks.
I know.
As somebody who travels for work, I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate traveling.
Well, but sometimes honestly, when you got kids and you get to go away a little bit for work, it's not that bad.
but if she doesn't
get to do that, then it's like, hey, he's like, look, I get that I travel a lot. You don't ever get to experience this. I'll probably get another upgrade in the future. Who knows?
The 12-hour flight.
Yeah. 12. He got. Listen. Okay. I thought of a new idea. Just popped in my head.
They can switch seats.
Yeah.
Yes. 6 hours.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I don't think they would allow that.
Oh,
they don't.
Why not?
Now you have COVID on the flight?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Don't land that thing.
Well, I don't know. You make up something to where you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to go to the back and my wife is going to come up front. I just think
there's a split, right? You either flip the coin or you try to switch out at halftime or every 3 hours.
Why do we think of that? Every hour back and forth, that'll make that 12 hours go by fast.
I thought of that, but sometimes they shut that crap down.
Oh, well, I mean, what are they going to do?
So what eventually happened was he took it and then they bought her a seat, put it on a credit
card.
Who's
they?
Him and her.
Oh,
they did. They had to pay and it was expensive. So they both sat up there. But in the end, they both rode 12 hours in business class. And it was, you know, two tickets for the price of one, but they didn't really have the money to do both.
Wow. 12 hours is a long time. My first time.
That's a long time, yeah.
I had a friend in college in Europe. So for my birthday present, I got to go visit him. He was in Liverpool. And when I got to the ticket counter, of course, I was flying coach. But I got to the ticket counter and my fourth grade boyfriend was working the counter and he upgraded me to first class.
Wow.
What? It was crazy. Of course, because I was like 20 years old or maybe even 21. Because I think when they offered me a mimosa.
A mimosa. I think Amy's still drunk.
When I boarded, they're like, hi, Mrs. Moffitt. Like they knew my last name. They offered me a seat pillow. Like it was just, it was a wild. Of course, then on the way home, I didn't have that hookup, so I flew coach, and I'm like, this is miserable.
You'd have almost had it the other way around, where you fly coach there and nicer back. Because it's the way back on a road trip, on a flight,
is always the worst. Yes. So shout out Omar St. Miguel.
Here's what we take away from the story. There is always a compromise. I don't care what the situation is. There is always a compromise. And the compromise could have been flip a coin, split time if you can, but that's risky because if they shut it down in the whole flight, the person who didn't get is just stuck. But okay, that's an option, or we'll now buy another seat. But in any disagreement where both are pulling a direction, there is always a compromise. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll, that, I'll leave it there. Okay?
Okay.
Good. We all learn a little something?
Yeah.
Okay. This guy named Robert has a French bulldog, and when the dog was getting a little older, he paid $1,600 to have the dog's DNA harvested and stored. There's some company that takes it, and they just hold it in case they're able to do anything with it. Now, this is just money he already had. Now, 2 years later, the dog, whose name was Makito, died. It was 14 years old, which is a long time for any sort of bulldog to live. He must have really taken care of that. If he's spending $1,600 on this dog for his DNA, you know he's taking really good care of it. So the dog had some sort of reaction to a rabies shot, and tragically, it died. What the guy did is he had a painting, an Andy Warhol painting. He sold it for $50,000 because he didn't have the money to do it, but he sold that so he could clone his dog. And he now has a clone dog named Machito instead of Machito, like T-W-O.
Clever.
But a clone dog still isn't your dog.
Right. But it's close enough to where maybe you just feel like it's a piece of them. It's a part. It kind of, right? It's a little bit.
You could adopt another dog like that.
I know, but it sounds like he's just got a strong attachment.
Yes.
Here.
Yes. It sounds like there's something unhealthy happening.
Clearly.
Yeah. But he sold a painting so he could clone his dog. He now has four of these French bulldogs. It's three others that look almost identical, but he has the cloned one. The clone dog is just not the dog. I wonder if somewhere in a lab, because there is the technology now, because they can clone dogs, and obviously Dolly the sheep was the first animal that was cloned.
Texas A&M whoop.
If there is somewhere that somebody has cloned a human, and that human's running around.
Weird.
But we don't know it yet.
Oh, we wouldn't? Yeah, we don't know it.
Right, because it's like,
we have
stay.
The technology. You're not going to convince me that someone hasn't done this.
Oh.
Because if they can, they probably have. It could be some government experiment.
Mm-hmm.
It could be some, you don't want to say black market, but some company that can do it that shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, like black ops.
As a
like
test,
a,
yeah.
Like they exist, but like they're...
What if I'm at home sleeping right now, but this is the cloned me that I paid for that's in here today? That cloning stuff is wild, man.
So weird.
That is wild. Another story. Amy went to the eye doctor yesterday. First of all, what's wrong with your eyes?
Well, turning 41 soon, got some vision problems and just wanted to do like a checkup. People say starting at 40, everything starts to go downhill. So eyes being one of those. So I just wanted to go get some things checked. And it's almost like, you know, this is my dream. I walk in and there are prisoners.
Why is it your dream that there are prisoners there?
I've always been obsessed.
I shared my fantasy yesterday. Now Amy's sharing hers.
That's a weird one, Amy.
I've always been obsessed. Remember when Prison Break was out years ago and I was obsessed with it? And I don't know. It was interesting. They were shackled at the hands and the ankles, but they didn't have on their jumpsuits. But they had to be, I guess, contained in that way because they're in a public space getting their eyes checked. And I was like, this is weird. Like, they don't have... The eye people could probably go to the jail.
I thought
that's
what happened. Like they had doctors that would go and examine them all at once.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe this was like a special circumstance
or something.
I don't know. But very interesting.
Weird to walk in and you see a lot of shackled people, regardless of what the situation is.
Yeah. Obviously, I was not expecting that at all whatsoever.
And you would think they would tip you off to go, hey, I know you're coming in, but there are going to be a lot of humans chained.
They were, yeah. Right. But they were just acting like, oh, this is normal. Like, and maybe it is. Like,
hey, Tuesday shackle day. You coming in shackles, 30% off.
Right.
They weren't even prisoners.
Yeah, I don't know. They were young, though. So I don't know if it was like
juvie.
Not that young. Oh. But I don't know what age juvie age is at. I don't know where it goes from juvie to prison.
Like 18.
Jail. Well, I don't know. Okay, so. But they look.
You talk to anybody?
No.
Hey,
I wish.
Hey, how'd you get in?
That's what I mean. I wish. I wanted to be like, so what's up? How, you know, what's it like? What are your plans?
What you do?
Do you think you can get out?
What's it like? I tell you what it's like. It sucks.
I know.
Did your eye doctor acknowledge that there were a lot of...
No, and I didn't ask about it. I mean,
what?
I mean, there's
obvious... There are people chained together in the lobby.
Yeah, no,
no one acknowledged it.
No, but they were there doing their eye exams. Like, what am I supposed to do? Do a full report. I just didn't ask anything. Kind of kicking myself now.
Did they get a
now.
Group discount for coming in all together?
What's it, with them?
Yeah, like, what? What did they?
Yeah, no. I mean, to me, it just seemed like this is normal. This is what they do. This is their chosen eye doctor place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe once a month they bring in a crew of kids. I don't know, or young men, whatever. Boy, they
it,
were.
It starts to get a little.
Listen,
more,
hey, no.
It starts to get a little more creepy with a hey young chiseled men, huh? No.
Listen, this is the problem. Also, with getting older, is everyone looks so young. Like, I also had a dentist appointment yesterday, and this new dental assistant guy came in.
Oh, boy. Right. Uh-oh. Yeah, there it is.
Uh-oh.
Stop. But I was, even though he had, a little mask
on.
Oh,
yeah.
I just was like, is he old Take enough to be working
off,
on my mouth
baby.
Right now? He looked so yeah. young. But then I was like, well, yeah, this is just it. This is when it happens. This is when you hit that age, when you get older, where men and boys, it's hard
Oh, boy.
To tell.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, we should probably play a song. Maybe we need to get a drink of water.
Stop.
Get one of those oxygen masks that
okay,
fall from the airplanes.
Never mind. Y'all don't get it.
Bobby Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Congratulations out to Cody Johnson. He joins George Strait and Garth Brooks as the only performers to sell out the opening night of the Rodeo Houston. Over 70,000 fans were in attendance. Luke Combs has some simple goals for how he wants to be known.
You know, I've always just wanted to be a guy that people felt like they wanted to root for. Felt like a guy that could be their neighbor, a guy they wanted to have a beer with. And I feel like I'll always be that guy, man.
Parker McCollum remembers writing a song with Rhett Akins and how it all went down.
Had a co-write schedule with Rhett Akins and really didn't want to write that day, was not feeling the co-write. And so I went in and I was like, man, let's just finish this song. I need a second verse. We cranked one out in about 45 minutes, I think. And I remember Rhett saying, man, just leave it. Don't touch it. Just that song's done. He's like, that's great.
I'm Morgan, and that's your Skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
Well, there's a rodeo in Belton, Texas. And 18-year-old Cody Hooks, it's his first ride ever. He's riding a bull. And his dad's there, Landis, and he's watching the whole thing go down. Cody's on the bull. They open the gate. Cody lasts about 2 seconds, gets bucked off, but he doesn't move. Cody's just kind of face down on the dirt. And so his dad kind of freaks out because the bull's like about to turn around and start going towards his son. So the dad jumps the fence, runs towards the son to check on him, and the bull starts charging both of them. So the dad jumps on top of the son to kind of like grenade guard him.
Wow.
And then the bull missed the dad, but the horn missed the dad by like 2 inches. Everybody was okay, but It was a scary moment there for a second.
Where were the clowns?
They were there. They were trying. Everybody was trying. The clowns were there, but the dad did what a dad does. He jumped on top of his son and saved him. Pretty cool.
I mean, so lucky the bull didn't gore him.
Yes.
The dad.
It could have been bad.
Yeah, it could have been real bad.
The bull's name, Fu Manchu.
Really?
You're lying.
Nah, I made that
You're
up.
You're lying. Okay. Okay. All right. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
I got some wild news for you today. Let's get to the big stories.
Bobby's Big
Stories.
A recent alleged assassination plot against the Ukrainian President Zelensky was foiled over the weekend as there were mercenaries sent from Russia, but the mercenaries were destroyed.
Oh.
I mean, they're after him. He knows they're after him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm here. I'm out. I'm fighting. Not leaving. You know, I think one of the big moments was whenever we offered him the chance to leave the country, we were going to go and get him, take him out. And he was like, I don't need a ride. I need ammo. And he's there. And every day he's talking. But this Chechenian leader said two servicemen had died and six others were injured, but neither the Chechenians nor the Kremlin had responded. And because that was people they had sent over to kill him.
Wow.
They killed those people. So it is a wild story. I mean, there was another one, and I just have the headline here. Russian police jail kids who took flowers and no to war signs. They threw the kids in jail. Wow. I saw all the clips. I saw the pictures of all the kids in jail because they had no to war signs. So that ain't a good place. That ain't a good dude. You know, you just hope that somehow they can figure this out and end it. But that ain't going to happen. Not anytime soon, anyway. Here's another story, just shifting, but also it's like, what is wrong with people? Say it back like that.
What is wrong with people?
A JetBlue pilot was taken out of the cockpit minutes before takeoff. He had a blood alcohol level more than 4 times the legal limit to fly.
No.
More than 2 to drive.
Wow.
James Clifton, 52, was allegedly visibly tipsy when he went through security before boarding the plane. This is a pilot. His blood alcohol content was 0.17, which is twice the 0.08% limit to drive a car, 4 times that to fly. And that is from the Buffalo News.
Whoa. Well, we hope he can get some help. Clearly, when you're making a decision like that, he's a problem with alcohol.
Yes, I would think it's not that he went on a bit, just like got a little drunk the night before and was like, right. Oh, crap. As someone who comes from an alcoholic environment, this to me seems like someone who has an alcohol problem.
Right.
Not someone who just went a little crazy the night before.
Yeah.
And you hope he gets help, but you also, you can't do that.
No,
and
you
now
can't
you've
got
to suffer the consequences of making a terrible decision of putting other people's lives in jeopardy.
Oh, yeah, because the FAA does not mess around with that at all whatsoever. Fun fact, I guess. I don't know.
Doesn't sound very fun. I don't know what you're about to say, but it don't sound very fun. Go ahead.
Well, I guess when it comes to if you are getting any kind of help for that, the top 2 professions that actually end up staying sober are pilots and doctors because of the accountability from their employee, like the FAA, the regulations, like the requirements. Like if someone's just, I don't know, Joe in accounting, there's not that umbrella of accountability. Like you're not going to ever be able to work again, by the way, if you don't do all of this to stay healthy and sober. Whereas the accountability in those professions is really high. So hopefully he can get the help and get back on track.
But if I was a doctor, that's a tough job, especially now.
Yeah.
Overworked,
very taxing.
Yeah.
Super stressful.
Pilots too, yeah.
Yeah.
But doctor, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. Yeah, there's no excuse. You can't behave that way. But if a pilot can get sober or a doctor, then hopefully they tend to stay sober.
A leather helmet that Amelia Earhart wore on a flight across the Atlantic in 1928 has sold for $825,000. I can almost picture the helmet, like an old black and white picture. Like the helmet, the little leather.
It like straps like, on the side?
Yeah, or maybe I'm picturing old football. I don't know.
Leatherhead.
But I think I see her in this helmet. The helmet went to an anonymous bidder in an online-only sale that closed Sunday. I'm looking at a picture now. I know the helmet.
That's cool.
But that's a lot of money, $825,000. That is from the AP. And finally in the news, your top 3 songs in country music. At number 3, Morgan Wallen, Sand in My Boots.
Something about the way she kissed me tells me she loves East Tennessee.
At number 2, Kelsey and Kenny Chesney, Half of My Hometown.
Half of my hometown still.
That was last week's number 1 song. Love that song. And at number 1, Kane Brown, One Mississippi.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three shots of whiskey, are you on your way with Gypsy Baby?
And the number 1 rock song is from Jack White of the White Stripes, Taking Me Back. Here you go.
When you take out the fingers and you pull all the triggers, well, you're taking me back.
Let's
you're
go.
Taking me back when you listen.
What you think?
You're doing
your face like you ate a really sour lime.
Because I'm not like,
let's
go, turn it up.
Oh, man.
Do you ever go, let's go? I don't think you'd do that anyway.
No, I mean, I think because y'all say it a lot, or Eddie for sure, but I hear the guys say it, so I know it's a thing. And so sometimes I might say a let's go, but not for that.
That's the news. Thank you.
Those were Bobby's Big
Stories.
Well, we're going to talk about something that's pretty scary that happened to one of the members of the show. We may need a doctor on the phone, but something happened, and I'll say it, someone might be dying.
What?
It wasn't me, and obviously it's not you because you just went, what? Unless you're acting.
I mean, I had something where I thought I was dying the other day, and I was like, did I tell you about that?
Could be you, though.
Well, maybe if
maybe
it's
you
not
forgot
for me,
you told me that.
If it's not for me, I'm going to ask the doctor maybe anyway.
I don't even know that we have a doctor. But something happened, and it's pretty scary.
Oh.
And we'll talk about that next. Okay. Or maybe if people just feel like they should be a doctor, they could give advice.
Ooh. Yeah,
yeah, we have
I
a
love
lot of
that.
Those.
That'll
yeah.
be fun.
I love that idea.
All right, we'll come back next with that story. It's funny that you almost died too, Amy.
Well, I mean, I Googled and apparently I might be almost going
to
die.
Okay, I'm going to come to you in a second, but that's not what this is about.
Okay.
Eddie, what happened to you?
Man, I mean, I was in the shower. I had a stomach ache that just came suddenly. And I was like, ooh, it felt like gas. And I don't want to be too graphic here, but I released the gas. Yeah. And then out of nowhere, I just kind of saw black. And then I came to, and I was on the floor of my shower. I've never fainted my entire life, ever.
Do you know if you hit your head or
not? No. Like,
okay,
nothing.
See, now he needs to go to the doctor. He needs to get this figured out.
Did you have a headache?
No. Nothing hurt. All I did was I kind of opened my eyes, and they were starry, almost like I'm kind of disoriented a little bit.
Do you think the gas had anything to do with it, or just add that for color?
Well, I'm thinking maybe the pain was so bad it made me pass out.
What?
I've never passed out before. I've never been knocked out before. This, to me, is so strange.
Yeah, he needs to go get examined, because his head, the trauma to the brain, what if he hit his head on the tub and he
like
doesn't
Bob
know
Saget.
It?
Oh, wow.
And he goes to bed and doesn't wake up.
But I did go to bed. And I woke up and I'm here today.
Tomorrow? It takes time.
Okay.
Do you think, I feel like if you would hit your head though, you'd have a sore or sensitive spot on your head.
That's the first thing I thought. Like,
Does your body have any fall bruises
nothing.
Or anything?
So
nothing.
Did you like gently just
yeah, I wonder if he just laid
to the ground?
I may have.
I've fallen in the shower before and it hurts.
So you passed out and saw stars when you woke up.
Yes. I mean, it felt like my eyes were open.
Was the shower still on?
Yeah. It's hot. I had a hot shower going. I mean, it could have been a number of things. Could have been the gas. Could have been the heat.
I don't think it was the gas, Eddie. Stop.
But how long were you out?
I don't know. I can't tell you, Amy. It's like I just felt kind of weak a little bit. And then everything kind of went black. Next thing you know, I don't know how long I was out. But I'm kind of like fetal position in the shower.
Okay. If there are any doctors out there, here's our phone number, 877-77-BOBBY. That's that. I'm curious to hear your story, though. You didn't share it with us. Do you want to share it with us?
Well, for over a week now, every once in a while, I get this 2 to 3 second tingle in my nose. And I don't know what is causing it at all. And it when I Googled, it's like, does that lead to a sneeze? And it doesn't. So it's like what? My nose is just tingling, which could be a sign of many things that could eventually just lead to death.
I feel like that's one of the things that's so vague.
But I don't know what it is.
You could be like, I got an itch. And there's 93 things that can come from that itch.
Right.
Everything from death to scratch it.
You're right.
But I do have this like patch of like something that seems like skin cancer on my nose, but nobody can seem to answer it. And I'm like, what if I'm going to lose my nose? I don't know.
And skin cancer, your mom, didn't she have skin cancer?
Yes, she did.
Is that from sun? Is that, or can you?
I'm sure sun damage genetically. My skin is more prone to damage from the sun, and I do have her skin type. But yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
Okay, we have Zach on who they're putting on hold right now, who's a paramedic from Virginia.
Okay.
Hey, Zach, can you give us a little insight as to what you think happened to Eddie?
Yeah, so it sounds like he may have bared down a little bit when he was having a stroke and he had a vasovagal reaction, which causes blood pressure to lower. Causing his blood pressure to lower in the shower and pushing down, trying to fart, may have made him pass out.
Yeah, his phone line's a little
muffled.
Yeah. I heard fart.
He said he thinks you're pushing too hard, Papaw, and that your blood pressure reacted, and then all of a sudden
you got dizzy and lightheaded.
Yeah,
I don't recall pushing it though, but it could be possible.
How did this segment go?
I don't like picturing this.
Some sort of like blood.
Hey man, when you're dealing with medical stuff, you just got to be transparent with everything.
I know, but we need.
Hey, let's see if Zach's phone's a little better now. Hey Zach.
Yeah.
Okay, that's better. Okay, so you think Eddie was pushing too hard?
Yeah, so if he was standing, maybe like in the shower or whatnot, pushing down hard, bearing down, could cause a vasovagal reaction, which lowers your blood pressure by hitting the vagal response nerves in your heart, and then that's going to make you pass out. Pretty common.
So, and there's, I guess, a difference in pushing too hard and bearing down. Eddie, are you okay, buddy?
Bearing down?
Why are you bearing down?
That sounds very aggressive. I'm just saying it was a pain in my stomach and then I farted.
Are you angry?
Wait, we know what happened. We don't have to keep saying it.
I didn't bear down and push it out.
Okay, Zach, appreciate it. Does that happen, Zach, with people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, or mostly people in their 70s, 80s?
Okay.
you're going to find it more often with people in their 70s and 80s, but a decent amount of people in their 20s and 30s who will have a vagal response.
Time marches on.
That's not what happened to me, guys.
Eddie's got the system
of an 80-year-old.
Of an 80-year-old. Zach, thank you, man. I really appreciate that call. Any idea what's happening with Amy's itchy nose?
It doesn't itch. It's a tingle.
Sorry, itching.
Amy's tingling. It's like a vibration.
She gets offended.
A few seconds. Well, because I'm trying to be clear.
So was I.
Yeah, I'm lost on that one.
Yeah, we're all lost on that one. Okay. All right, Zach, appreciate you. Thanks for the call, dude.
Thanks, Dad.
Bye-bye. Let me go talk to Becky, who is a nurse in Florida. Hey, Becky, what's going on?
Hey, nursing student, but it's called the vagus nerve. Is that what they told you? I turned the radio off.
Yeah. Tell us what you know about what Eddie did.
So it's called a vagus nerve. Most people are usually on the toilet. They bear down too hard. They faint and fall off the toilet.
Guys, I didn't push hard. we're going down the wrong road here.
Why are you so aggressive, Eddie, with your...
What is happening?
The vagus nerve?
Yeah. You just come back from Vegas.
And I've never heard bear down so many times in one.
It's a medical term.
Like... segment.
Yeah, Eddie's latching on.
No, I did not.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I did. I don't remember.
Becky, thank you very much. And do you think, Becky, as a nursing student, that do you think Eddie hit his head and he should go to the doctor, or do you think if he doesn't feel it in his head, he's okay?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You have to go with your gut, Eddie.
And then he bared down, and then he fell down.
Okay, guys. Is it possible, though, that I didn't fall and just maybe slowly went down? Is that possible when you black out?
Is the tub hard or is it a soft shower? Like, what is the
system? No, it's hard, but I don't. No, it's a hard tub, but I didn't feel like I hit my head or anything.
I don't know. I guess I would just go with my gut. Like, everybody has to do what they have to do for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, thank you, Becky. Hope you have a great day.
I'm from Plant City, so welcome to the Strawberry Festival.
Yeah.
I know you guys are all.
Hey, as long as Eddie doesn't bear down too hard, next Saturday.
I'll be there.
Eddie and I, the Raging Idiots, will be playing in Plant City outside of Tampa for the Strawberry Festival. Come. Tickets at RagingIdiots.com. All right. Thank you, Becky. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. I think you're okay. Stay off that vagus nerve.
Don't bear down so hard.
Hey, just go in. Take your time.
I think we went down the wrong road.
I think we went down the exact right road.
All right.
Maybe the dumbest segment ever, but we solved what the problem was.
Great.
Okay, so this couple's been struggling with fertility, and they decide they're going to get a surrogate, which a lot of couples have to do. And so they're talking about it, and the woman says that my younger sister will be our surrogate. Ray, this is kind of a bit what was happening with you guys, right?
Yeah, my sister agreed as well to be our surrogate.
And so they decide the younger sister would be a great choice. The sister agreed. They looked at the cost and then the time with in vitro. And then it was, okay, a little more expensive than they thought. So then the husband goes, why don't, and she can still be the surrogate, how about I just have sex with her?
No. No. No, because then you're getting a baby with her. You're not getting a baby with your wife.
That's
if
true.
If he impregnates her, the surrogate, she's no longer a surrogate. She is the mom of a baby that he and
That's
her
right.
created with her. You're a surrogate
okay,
when
Okay, scientist.
You're making sense, Amy.
Right. I mean, I get that it's same genetics because it's her sister, but you're not. This is not the same thing. This is just his sneaky way of I don't even know what, but
what?
No.
How? At a certain point, they thought the wife's younger sister would be a great choice. They looked at the cost, and then they say, this is the quote from the story, one of the all-time boneheaded compromises in the history of husbands. He started hinting that it might be best to get the little sis knocked up, quote, the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
He was acting like it was no big deal. His argument was that if he did it a few times, the quick way to have a baby, they'd save time and have money to use later. Now she's backing away from the entire concept of surrogacy, and she's dreading the day her sister finds out about her husband's grand scheme. Well, then don't put it public.
Yeah, it's out now.
It's out. Yeah, don't put it public. So you would say no to
no, that? No. It doesn't even make sense.
You think it's just him wanting to hook up with her sister?
Yes.
For sure, 100%.
Yeah, me too. I thought that too. I do want to put on Jessica in Texas, and she's waded through. A couple things happened in the last segment. One, Eddie said, I was in the shower. My stomach was hurting. Next thing I know, I woke up, and there were stars above me. And go back to the podcast and hear what a paramedic called and said, Eddie, this is what's wrong with you. And then we all got a good laugh because it wasn't serious.
Yeah, I guess.
Amy said her nose keeps tingling, but she never sneezes and it doesn't itch.
Doesn't itch. It's like a tingle vibration thing. A few seconds, then it's gone.
Okay, Jessica in Texas is on. Jessica, you have a theory about Amy.
Yeah, so you said that you have a patch on your nose that you think could be skin cancer. So I can't see the patch on your nose. But the tingle is like the number one initial sign of a cold sore forming. And a lot of people do get them on the insides of their nose, on the outsides of their nose. And so you might be getting another one coming in. Typically, they're kind of like scabbed over. I know when I was like younger, I used to get them on my nose. And definitely the tingle is like the first sign of a cold sore.
So Eddie farts too hard and Amy has a cold sore. Yeah.
Right. A cold sore on my nose?
I didn't know you get them in your nose.
Wow.
Who knew?
Is that herpes?
It is a different version of herpes.
But still herpes?
But yes, it's it. But I believe, and I think Jessica can correct me if I'm wrong, that most adults in America have the herpes virus that happens on your lips. It just is dormant and doesn't always physically show a cold sore. Jessica, am I right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, almost all.
We all have herpes.
Asymptomatic.
But the version... Okay, Eddie, you just... Jessica, thank you for the call. Really appreciate having an adult on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, right. So I'm not going to die or lose my nose.
Yeah.
I think you're good.
You're good on both of those.
All right.
If you go back into the podcast today, you can hear Mike D and Morgan's review of The Batman. And then also Amy, she had a bunch of moms at her house last night, and there were more than 25?
Yeah.
Showed up. Adoptive mom showed up to Amy's house. And the over-under was on bottles of wine that they had last night. You can hear that. I was up late last night watching the Arkansas game. We beat LSU, and I was up. I guess the game ended after 10. I probably didn't go to sleep till 12. I was so hyped up.
Heart was racing? Excitement?
Yeah.
That's cool.
This was my heart.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then I just wanted to go to the message boards and read. So that's what?
That's what you don't, you're not like, okay, the game's over, I can go to sleep. You have to go to message boards?
You can celebrate with other people.
Yeah, I want to go and read. Yeah.
What message boards?
Hogville.net. Oh, gosh. My name is Bobby Bones Woo Pig over there. And so I don't post a lot, but I do. I mean, I read all the time. So I go over to hogville.net and I see what everybody's got to say and look at the bracketology.
Wow.
Yeah, big game. Big game last night. Let's play Chris Stapleton. You Should Probably Leave. Why'd you laugh at hogville.net? You think it's a lame name?
Well, I laughed at message boards too. Oh, okay. That's the main thing.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from the Bronx, New York. A 28-year-old man was walking around looking for somewhere to break in. He sees a window unlocked, climbs in, and is ransacking an office. Only problem is, it was a police station. And an officer walked in, chased him through the building, and arrested him.
So he was just walking around random buildings, looking for any window whatsoever. It wasn't that he identified that building.
Right, it wasn't like he went to the police station, hey, I'm going to rob that spot. He just happened to see an unlocked window, climbed in, was looking through a desk when a cop walked in, and it was the police station.
Don't you think that the pictures of a police officer with his family on his desk probably tips you off that this is the police officer's office?
The handcuffs?
Or maybe Sergeant, his name up on the door. I don't know. I just feel like there are a few things, but that's why he's a bonehead. All right.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
Several toddlers were seen in the middle of a street after they escaped from a Glendale daycare without supervision. Whoa. Not just one. It was like a full jailbreak.
Wow.
Yeah, police got 911 calls Monday morning reporting that 6 to 8 toddlers were spotted in the street. They couldn't count them. They said 6 to 8. It's not like it's 90 to 100.
More than a handful.
You should know exactly who escaped.
Yeah, you should stop, count them, and then try to grab them. 6 to 8 toddlers were in the road. Police officers arrived. The children had already been taken back inside. They found that 8 kids aged between 1 and 3 got out of an unsecured gate. Several witnesses stopped, thank goodness, and escorted the toddlers back inside the daycare with the help of a staff member. According to police, the gate was shut by one of the kids as they left the building, and then staff members couldn't reopen it again. How does that happen? The gate was shut by one of the kids. And then staff members couldn't.
Maybe because it's locked and they have to have a key. And if the staff member wasn't prepared for a kid to shut it, then they didn't have the way to get back in, you know?
I mean, should there be any gate that a kid can lock that a staff member can't for any reason whatsoever? Yeah, for any reason. The Happy Days Learning Center staff members did not know the toddlers had escaped.
Well,
Glendale police said no criminal charges have been filed against the daycare or staff members, but the center will be investigated. That is from 12news.com.
That many kids and you don't notice they escaped?
Well, we don't know if it's 6 or 8. Or maybe 7.
I think anything more than 1, you're like, room looks a little lighter.
When there are 10 kids total and you don't notice. I don't know that criminal charges should be filed because it doesn't seem, negligent.
It was sneaky kids.
And the fact that nobody got hurt, if somebody had been hurt or a kid taken or even worse.
But this does need to be a lesson. Let this be a lesson in figuring out how to not let that happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. They'll investigate it. This is probably the punishment they'll get is us reading this on the air and they're acknowledged for letting 6 to 8 kids get out on the street.
That was a not so happy day. Mm-hmm.
But if no kids were hurt and they find out that it was just an accident that one of the kids somehow figured out how to get out and then led the others, come on, kids!
The ringleader?
Yes. Then, okay, they should be fine. Eddie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a ringleader in this. It's an accident. I mean, I'm just imagining the sight of like 6 or 8 kids.
In the middle of the road?
In the middle of the road, just like having fun.
Like 3-year-olds, yeah.
Hilarious. I don't think anyone should get in trouble. I think it's an accident. But as a parent, I'm scared.
Yeah,
if
my kids were there, I'd kind of want someone to get in a little bit of trouble. Like, we need it.
But what if they found that no one did anything wrong?
Right.
And it was like a malfunction in the gate, like a piece of mechanical equipment was messed up.
Yeah.
No, I asked you a question. Not yeah. You said you wanted someone to be.
I don't know. There should be like a fine or something. I don't know. Figure it out. Accidents happen. They do. With that scenario, fine. Nobody in trouble. But if like they just weren't paying attention, how do they not notice though? That's my thing. How do they not notice those kids were gone? That part's weird.
Okay. Then maybe they were having nap time.
That could happen.
The teachers?
The teachers, yes. That's it. Bye, everybody. The Bobby Bones Show.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.